mornings on SEN.
Waitley on SEN.
Welcome back, Sam Edmund with you. We've taken the baton or the baton from Kane Corns and steering you towards midday taking shape here this morning, as is the AFLW season. Five rounds in now and we've got one, two, three, four, five clubs stacked at the top of the AFLW ladder on four wins and one loss. But there's plenty happening far and beyond the ladder as it stands at the moment to steer us through all that, as she does beautifully each and every week with Jared. Sarah Ollie's here from the AFL website. Welcome, Sarah.
Good morning, Sam. Nice to be here with you.
Great to be here with you. I tell you what, round six, Michael Christian will be happy if we don't. He's not as busy in round six as he was in round five. Crikey, he had a bit to work with.
Yeah, a really busy boy. And the big ban handed down to Georgie Prespakis, who, of course, is the young cat who is dominating the competition and the younger sister of Maddie, a previous best and fairest. She's been slapped with a 2-week ban for her dangerous tackle on St Kilda's Erin McKinnon. It was judged as careless conduct, high impact and high contact. Now, this could have big ramifications come the best and fairest night, Sam, because she's leading the coaches' votes. She's having an absolutely incredible season. She knows how to get votes and she's always up there in terms of the best players on the ground. So hopefully this one doesn't come back to bite young Georgie in the you-know-what. But as you say, the MRO, so busy. Five other dangerous tackle offences were laid. Daria Bannister, she also has copped a one-match ban. And this comes on the back of last week. Taylor Harris, she also had, or it might have been the week before actually, she also had a one-match ban for a dangerous tackle. So dangerous tackles, they're an issue in the AFLW. It's every week we seem to have another one. And I think potentially in round one, we missed one because Bethany Lynch, who's the younger sister of Tom Lynch and a Tiger, she drove Rachel Kearns into the turf. She got this awful AC injury. The green whistle had to come out and no ban there. So I think that perhaps we've been a little bit late onto these dangerous tackles. But yes, Georgie Prespakis, 2 weeks she's going to miss now.
Seemed cut and dry, didn't it? Because Erin McKinnon, who, look, she's a ruckman and she was motionless on the ground for what seemed like a long time, concussed. So hence the high impact, high contact. The other one was a dangerous tackle on the Collingwood skipper, Steph Chiocci. Now she, it's always the teacher.
I shouldn't laugh.
The teacher never sees the first for the instigator, always sees the retaliator, and much the same with here because Steph reacted and copped the ban as a result.
A striking offence. Mm. Yeah, so it was all happening on the weekend.
Bloody hell. Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you about, I switched over quickly to the game between GWS and Adelaide at the weekend and just could not take my eyes off what was happening when it comes to the scoreboard. So it was 97-1. Now, went away from that thinking, is this good or bad for the competition? You tip your lid to the Crows, who are up there each and every season, seemingly, and GWS have clearly been struggling in the competition historically. But what does it say about the competition when you have one team scoring one behind for the match?
Well, it's problematic because these two teams, the Giants and the Crows, they're identical in terms of they were inaugural teams and this year they've had expansion come for the first time into their states with Port Adelaide joining Adelaide and the Swans joining the Giants. And there's a 96-point gap between these two sides. And what it does show, Sam, is that there is a flaw with how the league is set up and that until it is a fully professional league and we have a national draft where everyone has the same access to talent from around the country, we're going to continue to see these bloodbaths and this won't be the only result that is, you know, what was it, 96 points. I've spoken to coaches throughout the year and they're convinced that there's going to be several results where it's 100 plus points because there's just, in terms of these state-based drafts, it's just not fair or equal, and I think that's what it showed on the weekend. But can I tell you what? The Crows are back. If you thought that they were going to be a force this year,
Aaron Phillips too.
They are back, yes. They're so, when they can taste and smell blood, they just put their foot to the throat. They're big, the Adelaide girls. They really bully teams around the ball, and I tell you what, they're going to be there at the pointy end again, which is remarkable.
Now, Hawthorn had their breakthrough win in the competition. They did it in style too, and a lot was made, obviously a difficult time for Hawthorn as a club at the moment with everything going on in the men's program, but the women took it upon themselves to don the Indigenous jerseys, which was nice.
They did. Good for them. And obviously this is after the 2 weeks of having the Indigenous rounds. They decided to make a stand and to show that they are committed towards First Nations players. And look, the first quarter wasn't pretty reading for the Hawks because the Swans got out to a 4-goal lead. Brooke Lachlan had kicked 3 herself. And then at quarter time, Bet Goddard, well, she delivered one of the biggest sprays that we've seen in AFLW history. Sam, it obviously worked because the Hawks, they came home with a vengeance and they recorded their inaugural win. And I want to dip my hat to Jasmine Fleming, 17-year-old who's one of the Rising Star nominees this week. And of course, Damien Fleming's daughter, yeah. But she is carving out a name for herself at just 17, 16 disposals, 10 tackles. She is such a bright spark in that Hawthorn jumper.
17. And yeah. Bec Goddard is not kidding me. A lovely lady, but I reckon she could. She's well and truly capable of putting the blinkers on and going through a few. No doubt about that. A regular part of your segment with Jared is the rolling five. We mentioned Georgie Prasparkas is obviously going to miss some football, some important games too as well for the Cats, mind you. And you mentioned the ramifications for the best player of the competition come the end of the year. But your rolling five at the moment, your top five seeds as they were.
For the first time in number 5. And I think, like her Crows, she's just warming up. It's Anne Hatchard. Sensational on the weekend.
Like it.
So much fun to watch. In 4, I've got Mon Conti. A bit of a quieter game for the Tiger, but she is just sensational. And then I've got back-to-back Prasparkases. 3, Maddie. 2, Georgie.
Right.
And Jasmine Garner, she's still my number one seed.
I like it. Now, we were talking off-air around this time of the year. We've got to let you go because you've got trade radio commitments.
Yep.
The club teasers, if you like, on social media. Brisbane have just posted one finger in the air saying 4 o'clock. And now we've got our theory. Do we think it might be the captain?
Yeah, maybe one more year. And that would be in trend with some other statements that have come out from other clubs in the past week as well. So maybe just continuing on from the Swans and the Giants and their announcements, Sam.
We'll await confirmation whether it's Dane Zorko signing a 1-year contract extension at the Brisbane Lions at 4 o'clock. It'll keep us amused, as will many other things today. Sarah, thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks, Sam.
Sarah Ollie there from the AFL website, off to Trade Radio as well. You can give us a call, 1-300-736-736, just as Greg has done up in Rockhampton. He's a Bombers supporter. Greg, we opened up talking a bit about Brad Scott and some of the feedback coming through off the 40 Winks temper text as well. What's your read of things when it comes to the senior coach at the Bombers at the moment?
Okay. As a Bomber supporter, obviously I'm very in favour of James Herd, but we're not talking about James Herd. As far as Brad Scott is concerned, of the experienced coaches that we've had, I'm actually not too averse to Scott, only because he has a history of mentoring a lot of young footballers. He did that at North Melbourne. That's fairly well documented. And Essendon's a very young list. We've got a lot of young players, and they'll be looking to be elevated to the levels that a lot of them can get to, I think, with the right sort of coaching. In the past, we've had the consensus coach, Rutten being that one, you know, your next-door neighbour's best friend type coaching style. And it clearly didn't, the players never bought into that style. Scott's more authoritarian, but like Lyon, but I think where he's better than Lyon is that he relates better with younger players.
Mm.
So I'm not adverse to it. If he gets the role, well, being a Bomber supporter, I'm not going to sit there and cry over Herd not getting it, because I think the Herd would bring a dynamic to that young group, which would be amazing. But regardless of that, I won't be there crying. I'll be there supporting him 100%. And of the older coaches, he's probably the one that I'd most prefer.
Yep. Good on you, Greg. I appreciate it. I think he's the absolute favourite, should he submit to the process. And that is the big if at the moment. Now, Essendon pains to say there will be a process regardless of who it is. And they're almost offended by the fact that if Brad puts his hand up and says, I'm in, then it'll just be parachuted in and to take the job ahead of that batch of assistant coaches like Adam Uze, who have been front and centre previously. So I think he can coach too, to be honest, Greg. I mean, the track record's there. He took over a group. He took them to back-to-back preliminary finals. Could he do the same with Essendon? And as far as the established talent or the experienced talent they've got linked to that job, then he might be the best available. Appreciate your call. John's in Tilba. John, you might have a different view on Brad Scott. What's your read on it?
I don't have a different view on Brad Scott, but I do have a different view on James Herd to the previous caller. I'd just say, please do not appoint James Herd. Big mistake to go back. You know, he needs to go and be an assistant somewhere. I love him. I want him to be at Essendon in some capacity. But anyway, Brad Scott, I think he's the right type of coach for our playing list. He would, instill some ruthlessness in the playing group. They've been far too meek and far too nice. maybe because of Ben Rutten's consensus coaching. Yeah. I would agree with the previous caller on Ben Rutten. But look, you know, I hope that Brad Scott does put his hand up and does go through the process. And, you know, who wouldn't want the brother of the reigning premiership coach, right?
Might rub off, you reckon, John. Appreciate the call, absolutely. We'll take a break on mornings. Plenty more still to come. Stay with us. We'll be back after this.